3.
In my 20s, I explored women until I found the perfect one.
A city from the Middle Ages slowly faded into view as Charles floated down on 2 feet to land in a standing position. He stood in the middle of a town square as players of all types popped into existence around him before running off. The square itself was short-cut grass with a few elm trees in each corner surrounded by blue-gray cobblestone roads that went off from where they connected to the square. People walked by in all manner of robes and armor. Some rode beasts or had animals following them, the clip-clop sound of hooves faintly echoing off buildings. A lively, half-human, half-cat bard sat in the grass, leaning against a tree and playing the flute while its orange and black tail hit a rhythm on a drum. The barely decent music played over the gurgle of voices. 2-story stone and wood buildings with storefronts clustered on 3 sides of the square, rising up just after the cobblestone. A large church building took up the entirety of the 4th side. Small yellow cloth with a black circle fluttered on poles above doorways and hung loosely as tabards on guards. Players and NPCs worked stalls outside of the stores selling everything from fruit to used weapons to loot. Charles took a breath of what he hoped would be fresh air, but was mostly the smell of unwashed people with the faint undercurrent of horse dung.
"Well, everything can't be perfect."
Instead of dwelling on the scent, he just shrugged and took a couple of small, tentative steps forward, afraid of the pain his real body would have, before sighing in relief.
"It's been years since I didn't hurt somewhere."
He was jostled by a cloaked child that ran away before stopping and turning around and yelling at him.
"5 coppers? That's all the money you had, old man? What the hell?"
The diminutive person that clearly wasn't a child yelled before stomping off, disappearing into a crowd. Charles knew better than to try and follow. He didn't have the energy or the interest in tracking down his stolen money. A small window opened in the bottom left of his view, and a face that looked like a younger, perfected version of Bert with spiky black hair and piercing neon blue eyes came into view. A scar lined straight down one side from eyebrow to jaw.
"Charles, I saw that you logged on a few minutes ago. Where did you end up starting at?"
The man was obviously Bert's avatar, though the voice was a tad deeper and didn't have the shakiness that came with age.
"It's going to take a while to get used to him not looking like an old man. Wonder why he decided to go with that look."
Charles looked around before patting the shoulder of a warrior wearing studded leather armor.
"Excuse me. Can you tell me where I am?"
Charles asked, hearing Bert laugh as he asked. The warrior's name, Big D, appeared above his head as he turned. It was clear he was about to say something else before he nodded his head respectfully and said,
"You're in the city of Worthit in Helios, Market Square. Is this your first time playing?"
"Yes, and thank you,"
Charles smirked.
"Don't mention it. If you need a warrior to power level you, I'm your man. 15 silver an hour." "I'll consider it. Thank you again."
Charles looked at Bert's avatar and repeated what the warrior said.
"You're in Helios. How'd you end up there? There's literally nothing in the entire country."
"Dunno. The bot picked it for me."
"It can do that? Huh. Well, sit tight. I'll be by in about 5 to show you the ropes. What class are you?"
Charles looked around at the different folks standing about and tried to pick out someone that would tell him without too much of a hassle.
"You know what? Never mind. Just sit tight."
The picture of Bert disappeared from his view, and Charles went over to take a seat against one of the trees. He was about to close his eyes and take a nap when he heard other players talking.
"Who's that old man? Why would someone want to play a character like that? That dude's gotta be like 300 years old. He's leaning against a tree like he's sick. Should I heal him?" "You can't heal age, dumbass."
The whispers faded away until he heard his friend's clear voice speak.
"Charles,
His eyes opened to a tall man in resplendent green-shaded crystal armor trimmed in gold, standing on a floating golden chariot. The chariot was being pulled by four beautiful and nearly naked Valkyries. Elaborate jewelry clung to him as if he sold the stuff. His armor sparkled with an inner light that had every other player nearby staring jealously.
"Come on, let's go grab a beer," Bert said,
and it surprised Charles to realize he didn't need any help to stand.
"A beer?"
"Yeah, it's likely an ale or mead, but there's a tavern across the way, and we could sit at the balcony."
"Sounds nice."
The other players made room for Bert, quietly eyeballing the chariot and the armor. A large sword was sheathed on his back that seemed to be made from some purple material, but Charles didn't really pay it much attention as he followed Bert into a cozy wooden tavern that appeared to serve a host of clientele with a variety of appetites. The servers bowed and scraped before Bert, and when he pointed with a single finger to the balcony, was led to a table there.
"Well, seems like you're popular here." "Nah. After level 400, most folks don't bother with coming to a starter zone. The reputation bonuses from the higher level quests mean I could literally murder the king in broad daylight here, and the NPCs would act like I did them a favor. Couple of fellows I know started their own kingdoms that way."
"So why don't you?"
"Nothing's in Helios. It's why a country this small still exists. It's not worth the time or money to conquer. Whole country is a level 50 training zone. Only thing I could really get here is a feeder guild for one of my feeder guilds."
Bert spoke as they were being led up worn wooden stairs and through tables to a balcony seat that Charles would have sworn a couple was sitting at before they entered the building.
And guilds here work like other games?"
"Pretty much. Want me to go over the basics with you? Or has someone done that already?"
"No, you're the first person I've spoken to so far."
Bert half smiled as he spoke.
"Well, repeat after me. Import contacts and allow comms."
"Import contacts and allow comms?
You have chosen to import contacts and allow comms to reach you in-game. Do you want to proceed?"
"Yes."
"Contacts imported and comms activated. No new comm requests at this time."
"Looks like I'm done."
"Okay. Say, Charles, you seem distracted. You haven't given up on playing the game before you even started, have you?"
"No, it's my granddaughter Diana. She called right before I logged in."
Charles couldn't keep the anger out of his voice. Their server, tall and graceful, took that moment to bring them their food and an ale each. A comely man with pockmarks followed, carrying a delicious-smelling roast smothered in a dark gravy on a bed of some leafy vegetable. Charles looked up at the server, not remembering having ordered, but both ignored him to bow low to Bert.
"Lord Alehouse, your deeds precede you. We offer our best meal and ale at our hospitality. Please let us know if you need anything further."
Bert just waved a hand.
"We just need to continue our conversation privately. You are excused."
The server's eyes widened and he bowed deeper. It seemed he took the words literally as he began whispering to the other diners and ushering them to leave. Charles watched in amazement, then turned back to Bert, who picked at the meat with a large wooden fork like it might get up to bite him.
"Bert, what was that?"
"Oh, nothing. Sometimes these folks overreact. So you were saying something about Diana?"
"She called a few minutes ago and, well, it's just one of those things, you know. Where's you're too old and frail to even handle travel, but you wish you could."
Bert watched him carefully for a few seconds before speaking.
"Your call. You know you can let me know if you or your kids ever need anything."
"Thanks, Bert. I will,"
Charles said as he picked up his beer and took a sip. He wasn't feeling too hungry at the moment, but he hadn't had a good beer in decades because of the different medicines he was taking.
"The taste is refreshing, even if it isn't real."
So let's get on with it, then, if you're ready. I see you picked Aeromancer. I'd have figured you would pick Ranger.
I just picked whatever was first. Ranger sounds good, but I want to stay in one place if my kids or grandkids ever come looking for me. Just don't give me any of that old windbag stuff, either.
Old windbag? Old fart? Same thing. That makes sense about staying in one place, but it'll be hard to do quests. Thinking of staying here in town?
Charles looked out the window at the people moving around the square. Several players stood around, looking up at them, but most kept moving after a while.
Not really sure. Not really sure what I can do in this game, Charles said after a minute or so of thinking.
Well, if you don't think of something, then the AI bot over the game is going to drag you into something convoluted and ridiculous. Take a look down there. See that guy there? The warrior with the 8 women behind him?
Yeah, I see him. Are those players or NPCs?
NPCs. All of them. That's a harem quest line. Fella thinks he gets strong by collecting women and sleeping with them to gain powers or strength.
Really? Sounds like a 20-year-old fella's dream.
Oh, it is. You'll see them almost everywhere, and they're all about as smart as your toenail. It's easy to take them out, too, as the NPCs don't normally respawn like players. You follow the quest line long enough, and they all end up betraying the guy somehow. See, each of those NPCs is patterned after a real woman, and real women want attention. Or need it. At least they act like they need it.
One woman was always more than enough for me.
Well, I might be a tad jaded after 5 wives. Don't read too much into it. See that fellow there talking to himself?
Yeah. He's not talking to someone on his comm?
No. You'll see folks still looking around or looking down to a corner if they're on comms. That man's talking to an invisible AI bot that needs saving from some convoluted government scheme.
Huh.
Charles continued drinking his beer, savoring the flavor.
And that guy in there with the shaved head and the knives?
Bert gestured with his still clean fork.
Ex-military?
You nailed it. Some diabolical AI bot is threatening to take over the world and annihilate mankind. It's up to him and him alone to save all that exists.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Charles watched the man. He had a broad chest and muscles on his muscles. His eyes darted around, taking in dangers, and he glanced up at them for a brief second to squint before darting off down an alley.
Okay, last one. See the swordswoman with all the villagers looking at her and whispering?
The one there on the lizard thing?
No, that lady's on some kind of druid quest. The one to the left of the church door.
I see her.
She's one of the Eastern players that are on a quest line where she levels by ascending or transcending or some nonsense where she takes in mana or essence to improve her body. All those NPCs are going to whisper questions wondering who she is and how could someone give off that kind of pressure. Then some guild will target her and she'll have to fight off thousands of people at the same time to show her sword skills are the best in the world.
Isn't that an anime?
Think it might be every anime.
Huh.
Charles turned back to look at Bert's avatar.
So you're saying I need to find something to do before the AI does for me? Kind of like being married again.
He chuckled and finished his beer. The server had another full mug on the table before he could even set his empty one down.
Yeah, just don't get me started on the players that want to be uniques. So many folks come up with their own way to try to bypass the rules to become powerful that the AI just calls their powers unique to the other players. Got any idea of what you want to do yet?
Don't know. All those sound like a hassle, especially the harem one. Last thing I want is to be trying to balance time with a bunch of young women. Too old to be a sex symbol.
Maybe you are, heh? Let's start with the basics. Repeat after me.
Set pain to zero.
Set pain to zero. Pain is now set at 0%. You will not perceive pain when taking damage.
That's good. My real body hurts enough as it is, Charles said,
still relieved at how his body's aches and pains were gone.
Same here. Now, aeromancer isn't that great of a class unless you like flying.
Not especially. Seems like a kid's dream, though. I was thinking about it while we talked, and maybe I could learn a spell that let the grandkids fly around.
Well, how about this? Set class change to open.
Set class change to open.
Your class is now open to modification and advancement. You can learn skills from other classes to develop your own unique class.
I can have a unique class. Is that one of the things you warned me about?
No, that's a unique quest line. Like a painter bringing paintings to life, or a druid that turns rocks into bears, and potentially the whole world is rock. Most folks that start with a class have theirs turn unique around level 120 naturally. Doing this just removes the limitations earlier.
He paused to take a drink before continuing.
Now, I got you a few items to help you with the lower levels. Likely won't mean much after level 200, but here in this kingdom, I bet it'd take a whole guild to kill you. I brought 8 items because I was sure that you would pick ranger after our stint in the army, but these ones work well with any class, and they're soulbound, so no one can take it if you die. Most items have a minimum level requirement, but not these.
Soulbound means it stays with me if I die. Got it. Let's see. A cloak, a stick, a couple rings, and a necklace.
An amulet. You should equip them all now.
At least it's not a choker. All right. Putting them on now.
You have equipped Cloak of Disguise, Soulbound.
Cloak of Disguise, Soulbound, Legendary. Def, 3,000. Plus 200 to persuasion, intimidate, and threaten checks. Plus 150 to charm, barter, and negotiate checks. M defense, 3,500. Item level, 250. No level requirement. Durability, 50,000 of 50,000. Uses. 3 times per day, shift your appearance as needed. New appearance is at legendary. Only artifact-level scan, scry, or discover spells will see through the illusion. Does not transfer skills, levels, or stats associated with new appearance. Does not confer reputation bonuses from other players. Cannot be used to enter guilds, parties, or player property. Description: made by a master crafter, this was once the skin of a doppelganger. Blessed by 3 player gods and dipped into the blood of a demon changeling, this cloak is the perfect spy's tool.
You have equipped Baton of Subduing, Soulbound.
Baton of Subduing, Soulbound, Rare. Damage, 2,000 physical damage per second. Will not reduce health below 1 point. 100% chance of causing prone and unconscious conditions when used on living creatures equal to or less than your level. 75% chance of causing prone or unconscious conditions when used on living creatures up to 10 levels above your level. 50% chance of causing prone and unconscious conditions when used on living creatures greater than 10 levels above your own, up to level 150. Item level, 150. No level requirement. Durability, 2,500. Uses, 1 time per combat. Capture living NPC. NPC will make a will check versus 1,200 plus player's will. Description: created by a master craftsman from a branch of a dryad's tree, this club cannot take a life. This club is the perfect City Watch's tool.
You have equipped the Slice of Pie Guild's Ring of Friendship, Soulbound.
Slice of Pie Guild's Ring of Friendship, Soulbound, Rare. Health regen, plus 5,000 per second. Magic regen, plus 5,000 per second. Immune, mental conditions, daze, confuse, fear, mind control. Charges, 3 favors, 800 guild points. Item level, 300. No level requirement. Durability, 10,000. Uses: One time per day, teleport a member of Slice of Pie Guild to your location. Requires one favor. Allows access to Guild Hall and Guild Shop. Description: custom made by Slice of Pie Guild's craftsmen for allied players. You are considered a friend of the guild. Yay, friends.
You have equipped Ring. Unidentified.
You have equipped Aknart's Amulet of Protection. Soulbound. Aknart's Amulet of Protection. Soulbound. Rare. Defense 1000. M Defense 1000. Item level 100. No level requirement. Uses: once per battle, clear all status ailments.
This stuff is amazing. It must have cost a fortune,
Charles said after reading through the descriptions.
Not really. It's things that my guildmates outgrew as they leveled up. Not really useful to us at our level, and not really worth selling.
But it's all soulbound. How did they outgrow it?
Oh, a spirit wizard of high enough level can modify souls and enchantments. Something to keep in mind if you run into one, though you won't likely run into one around here.
One of these rings is unidentified. Should I do something?
Is it? Oh, I wouldn't worry about it. Your level's probably not high enough, is all. Consider it a secret, and don't show it to anyone. Any idea of what you plan on doing in-game yet? Anything you still want out of life?
See my family, mostly. Be there for them. Too old to chase the dollar. Much too old to chase women. No use for power, really. Guess I'll look for a place to do my own thing and sit in my rear there. Not fishing. It wouldn't be the same here. I'm sure I'll find something somewhere. Why do you play? This doesn't really seem like you.
After I sold my last company, I realized I was rich. Rich enough to live anywhere and do whatever I wanted. Surprising that I'd have money after four ex-wives tried their damnedest to claw it from me. But I smartened up after the first. Still, it wasn't the same. All this money and no family to share it with. No kids after that many marriages is... I don't know. I wanted to do something I could enjoy for the last few years I'm around, and I am enjoying this. I hope you do, too.
Bert chuckled.
Of course, you should probably go do the starter quests while you figure it out. Just don't get caught up in a big quest storyline and you'll be fine. If it sounds epic, stay away from it. Oh, and stay away from the Republic of Dearth.
Why is that?
Evidently, when they started up this game, they hired a bunch of fantasy writers to write the quest lines over there.
Sounds like a good thing.
Well, it could have been, I guess, if they didn't get so wrapped up in doing it that they worked themselves to death. Didn't stop to eat or drink. Heard they died happy, and I guess if I was one of them, building my own world would be the way to go. It just didn't pan out for them, though. It's all a crazy mismatch of unfinished quests, events, monsters, you name it, all haphazardly thrown together. Heard the industry never recovered, but who knows? Just stay away. Folks that go there have to get psychiatric help.
I bet those writers died with a smile on their faces. If I do end up that way, then I won't say you didn't warn me. I bet even doing that beats watching the same holovids all day again, though.
Bert stood up, leaving a handful of coins on the table.
I need to get back to my guild, but feel free to call if you need something or want to talk, all right?
I will. And thank you, Bert. You didn't have to do this for me, but you did, so I'll try it out.